From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Melissa Block. Over the past 10 years, a new medical term has made its way into doctors' offices across America, male menopause, or andropause. The idea isn't new, but in recent years, male menopause has been widely promoted, along with a remedy, testosterone replacement therapy. Reporter Elise Spiegel visited one clinic that specializes in male menopause, and she has this report on the controversial hormone treatment.
Hi, Dr. Mintz. Can I help you?
Dr. Alan Mintz is a 65-year-old physician who looks like a Jewish Arnold Schwarzenegger. Every morning he rises at 3 a.m. and works out for 2 hours. He takes 20 vitamins a day. He has 9% body fat. He always gets to work before 7. Mintz is the president and CEO of an age management institute in Las Vegas called Senogenics, and he's the kind of person who likes to stay on top of things. On his desk at work, he has 4 phones and also 6 computers.
Let me walk you through it. I'm always live on email. I actually get out over 200 personalized emails a day. This is our database. Every interaction that we've had so that we can keep track of what's going on. We have 139,000 people.
Despite the fact that Mintz runs a multi-million dollar business and has 41 in-house employees, he answers not only his own phone, but every phone call placed to the Senogenics Institute, and there are a number of them. Senogenics treats about 4,000 clients, most of them middle-aged men who call with vague but persistent symptoms.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, great. So tell me who you are.
Dennis is a typical caller. He's 58 years old, used to run a successful company, but has recently retired. Despite the fact that his workload has been reduced to zero, Dennis finds that his energy is low. He feels less vital than he did when he was younger. His mind feels fuzzy, less acute.
You know, maybe my mind's not as active as it was. So, I mean, I don't know why I've been tired, but I mean, I've just done all these physicals, and I don't think there's any reason physically that I'm this tired.
Well, there is. But it's not something that's detected normally. They haven't looked in the right places.
The right place to look, according to Mintz, are the hormones, specifically testosterone. Most of the men who come to Senogenics are given testosterone for something called andropause, or as it's known in the lay press, male menopause. As Mintz explains it, after the age of 30, men naturally lose about 1 to 3% of their testosterone a year, and over time, this loss takes a toll. As with women, the body changes. You're more likely to put on weight, you lose vitality, and even sex drive. Mintz himself is on testosterone treatments and credits the drug with keeping him keen, motivated. Dennis is impressed.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least I've made the right call, right?
Well, you know, I would hope so, and that's for me to help you understand the science and get you comfortable.
Right.
So let me get patient services on the phone.
Thank you.
And, you know, thank you. I appreciate your confidence. It's going to be a pleasure to meet you.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Hang on.
But not everyone is convinced of the power of testosterone to treat andropause, including Dr. Dan Seamus of the Food and Drug Administration.
I don't know what the treatment is treating. I don't know if andropause really exists at all.
The very concept of andropause was first popularized only about 10 years ago. And according to Dr. William Crowley, director of the Harvard Center on Reproductive Endocrine Sciences, the idea didn't exactly originate with doctors and patients.
There's little question that the current driver of this interest in this and prescription of medication for this is being driven by the marketing arms of pharmaceutical companies.
For years, testosterone was administered primarily through painful injections. But then pharmaceutical companies came up with a testosterone that's applied through the skin. This made testosterone incredibly easy to use, but the market was small because testosterone was only approved by the FDA for a disease called hypogonadism, a rare disorder where testosterone is so low that fertility or puberty are affected. So with a larger market in mind, pharmaceutical companies began to educate doctors and patients about another possible use for their product, andropause. They marketed directly to consumers with full-page ads in national magazines like Time and sent drug company representatives to inform doctors about the benefits associated with testosterone. Andropause became a new medical syndrome, one that used to go by a slightly less technical-sounding name. It was called aging. Again, William Crowley of Harvard.
Most of the people who are medically knowledgeable people wouldn't use the term male menopause. They would refer to the normal aging process that occurs in males. The notion of menopause implies, from its female version, a rather cataclysmic loss of function. In men, it's a very subtle decline over 30 to 50 years that happens. So whether or not you refer to this as male menopause, natural aging, et cetera, is a matter of controversy.
I think there are more and more men with low testosterone that are discussing these symptoms with their doctors nowadays, and I think that's a good thing.
Gabrielle Braswell is a spokesperson for the pharmaceutical company Unimed, which produces a transdermal testosterone called Androgel. Braswell is careful to point out that advertising for Androdel doesn't include explicit references to andropause. Since testosterone is only approved for hypogonadism, drug companies can't legally promote it as a treatment for any other disease or condition. Braswell is very sensitive on this issue. She insists that the goal of her company is simply to educate patients and doctors about the health risks of low testosterone. That's the phrase she uses. Low testosterone. But frankly, this is a bit of a linguistic dance. While hypogonadism certainly is characterized by low testosterone levels associated with normal aging are not hypogonadism. When asked if Unimed understood that its product was being used in clinics like Cenogenix to treat andropause, Braswell had the following response.
We have to rely on the trained medical professional to prescribe the product to the appropriate male patient. It is in their hands to give their patient the blood test and check on the accompanying symptoms before prescribing the product, and that is really what we have to rely on here.
The truth is that no one knows exactly how many men are now being treated for male menopause, but Mintz says that Cenogenix has been growing at 1-2% a month, even in a faltering economy. And a recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine says that testosterone prescriptions have grown 500% since 1993. This kind of growth normally would not concern Dan Seamus at the FDA, but Seamus definitely looks worried. He says there's not enough research on testosterone, especially long-term studies, to know how it will affect otherwise healthy men. He's concerned about heart disease and also cancer. It's not known whether or not testosterone causes cancer in men who are entirely cancer-free, but Dan Seamus says it is clear that testosterone stimulates cancer cells that already exist, which bothers him for the following reason.
We know from autopsy studies that men, once they're past about 50 or 55, a large proportion of them, in fact, have certain prostate cancer cells in their prostate. So we're very concerned here about the use of this product in this age group, especially when we never intended it for it to be used for this purpose.
But abstract warnings about cancer don't always dissuade consumers, like Rick, a Cenogenix patient who arrives at the Institute on a Harley wearing black leather and a thick mustache. The warnings Rick received didn't really make much of an impression.
You know, we covered it, and I'll be honest with you, I can't really remember exactly what they said.
Rick's a motorcycle guy, and at first glance, he doesn't look like a particularly sentimental character. But then Rick sits down to explain why he turned to Cenogenix in the first place, and a gentler side emerges.
You know, so it gets a little embarrassing sometimes to talk about it, but I couldn't keep an erection, is what it come down to.
Cenogenix says that a lot of men are drawn to testosterone because they're experiencing sexual problems. Rick first noticed a change about 5 years ago, at 43. He said he'd always had a great relationship with his wife, a woman he fell in love with at first sight, but Rick's inability to perform sexually strained their 25-year marriage.
She told me everything was fine, not, you know, not to worry about that, but it bothers you. I think that it caused me to withdraw a little bit.
Emotionally?
Yeah. And I didn't want to do things.
Rick considered taking Viagra, but felt uncomfortable with the idea that he'd have to pop a pill every time he wanted to be intimate. Over time, he became irritable, resisted going out, and he became distracted at his job.
Before I started taking testosterone, I was depressed because I didn't feel like I was able to give her things or do things for her. I felt like I wasn't who I was supposed to be.
To age is frightening, and it's not just men who seek to combat the inevitable deterioration of bodies. Women have done the same. After all, the first large-scale use of hormone replacement was in women. Doctors prescribed estrogen to combat menopause. In fact, that's part of the reason William Crowley at the Harvard Center on Reproductive Endocrine Sciences is so concerned. He feels he saw this before, in the early 80s.
Arguably, this is exactly the circumstances we got in with hormone replacement therapy in women. If you go back and look at the number of estrogen prescriptions that are prescribed in women, there's a rise of estrogen prescriptions, and 5 to 10 years later, there's a rise of endometrial cancer that almost exactly parallels the estrogen prescription rate.
And for Crowley, the rise in testosterone treatments is like deja vu.
The worry here is that we're seeing this rise of testosterone prescriptions in men because of the enhanced ease of transdermal administration. And the worry is that within 5 or 10 years, we're going to see a rise of prostate cancer that parallels exactly what was seen in women with endometrial cancer.
The Federally Chartered Institute of Medicine recently published a report on the state of research on testosterone therapy. After voicing very serious concerns about the risks of prostate cancer, it concluded that there's not enough known about the effects of testosterone on aging men and called for more research, a position William Crowley supports.
It may very well be that we should not accept the 1 to 2% decline in testosterone per year of life, and that flattening that decline out, straightening it out, will result in important medical benefits to men. But you can't make those claims without doing it in a randomized controlled trial setting for a long period of time.
Some medical experts are suggesting that testosterone treatment can go forward if patients are selected carefully and monitored for prostate changes. In the meantime, Senogenics is expanding. They recently licensed franchises in Korea, Hong Kong, and Japan. In December, four doctors from Senogenics Japan visited Las Vegas for additional training and met with Dr. Mintz in the large wood-paneled conference room on the Institute's first floor. Through a translator, they talked about their shared business. The Japanese doctors said that men in that country have been slower to take to the idea of male menopause, but they are coming around.
Until about 5 years ago, the word andropause was never even used. But recently, there have been a lot of doctors, particularly in the corporate sector, that have done some advanced research into this field.
And so a new medical concept is born and grows. Whether the treatment of male menopause will produce more good than harm remains an open scientific question years away from being answered. For NPR News, this is Elise Spiegel in Washington.